My name is Rob Gorski, and you're listening to the Autism Dad Podcast. I want to thank you for taking the time to tune in again this week. I really appreciate it. I know that there's a lot going on with this COVID-19 crisis. I hope that as you're listening, that you and everyone in your world is safe and healthy. I know this is difficult. As I'm recording this, we're on day 70 of total lockdown, and it's not easy, like at all. I get it, and we'll get through this. So I just want I want you guys to know that I'm thinking about you, and I wish you the best. So stay safe, stay healthy, and we're going to move on to a couple of housekeeping things before we move on to the show. This will probably be the last episode for a couple of weeks. This is episode 21 of season 3, and it's a lot of work to put all these together, and it's become very difficult to do with my kids home 24/7. So I'm gonna take a break for a couple of weeks and just kind of regroup. It's kind of stressful for me to try and get all this stuff done, and I need to take care of myself. So I'm just gonna take a little vacation from this. I'll record some interviews and stuff like that between now and then. But I'm just gonna not worry about deadlines or release dates or anything like that for right now. So probably be a couple of weeks. Probably get back in June. So you know, now would be a great time to get caught up on all the previous episodes. There's 40 or 50 of them, I think. So check those out. I'll have a link in the description where you can see everything in one place. So that's that. As for our show today, I am thrilled to have a very special guest today. Her name is Kristen Canavera. She is a psychologist with St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. And St. Jude has put together these amazing kits to help parents talk to their kids about COVID-19. They're broken up into kind of different groups for different age groups, and they have found a very developmentally appropriate way to help kids navigate the COVID-19 crisis. So it educates them, it helps to kind of take some of the fear out of it by giving them the facts, and you know, it's broken down by age groups. So it's a fantastic thing. I've downloaded it, I've used it with my kids, and you know, there's some fun games and word searches and a lot of educational stuff. It's all free. All the links will be in the description below, so I'll make sure that you guys have access to that. And Kristen and I will have a wonderful conversation right after this quick commercial break, so please stay tuned. We'll be right back. I've been talking about MightyEar for roughly 2 years now. MightyEar is a program out of Harvard Medical and Boston Children's Hospital that uses video games and a heart rate monitor to help kids learn to recognize and manage their own emotions. This works for any child because it's biofeedback, and biofeedback works on humans. I know that sounds crazy, and I thought the same thing when they first approached me back in August of 2018, but I began using it with my son then, and almost 2 years later, we're still using it today. I've been a public figure in the autism community for over a decade. I'm constantly approached by companies pitching products that are supposed to benefit families like mine, and they almost never do. In the last 10 years, I've fully endorsed only 2 products, and MightyEar is at the very top of my list, and for good reason. It works. One of my goals is to connect people with things that can improve their child's quality of life and the quality of life of everyone in their home. I truly believe MightyEar can do just that. I use it with my own kids, and I would recommend it to my closest friends and family without hesitation. If you'd like to learn more, you can check out my personal experience as well as learn more about the science behind how and why it works by visiting theautismdad.com/MightyEar. That's theautismdad.com/MightyEar. And we're back. And as I said previously, Kristen is here from St. Jude Children's Research Hospital to talk to us about COVID-19 and this resource kit that they put together for children and families to help parents like myself better explain this to my kids in a way that is less threatening, I guess. And so Kristen, thank you for taking the time. I know you guys are really, really busy. I appreciate everything that you guys do at St. Jude. My oldest has fragile health, and while we've not had to, we've not been to St. Jude, I do very much appreciate all of the research and the work that you guys are doing for kids like mine. So I really do appreciate it. It's an honor to have you guys on the show. So thank you.
Well, thanks for having me.
Could you take a couple of minutes and just kind of tell us about your background? Like, what do you do at the hospital?
So I'm a pediatric psychologist, and I've been at St. Jude several years now. I do primarily clinical work and some research, but my clinical work involves working with patients and their families on helping them cope with a cancer diagnosis, helping them adjust to those changes when they have to go through treatments, and just really helping them during a stressful time. I work most closely with our leukemia and our ICU teams. Before St. Jude, my background, I specialized in childhood anxiety disorders and OCD. And I have some experience working with kids with autism spectrum disorders. I was very fortunate I got some training as a LEND fellow in my prior training before St. Jude. So that's a program. It's a leadership, education, and neurodevelopmental disabilities program.
Very cool. For those of you out there who may not be aware of what St. Jude is and what they do, could you kind of explain in a nutshell what it's hard to do with St. Jude, but like what you guys do?
Yeah. So we are a children's hospital specifically focused on treating childhood cancer and other catastrophic illnesses. We also treat blood disorders like sickle cell disease, and we have a big focus on research at St. Jude as well. So for those who don't know, we're based out of Memphis, Tennessee, but we do have several affiliate clinics in other states as well.
Oh, I didn't know that. One of the things that you guys are doing at St. Jude in response to the COVID-19 pandemic is trying to put out resources that helps parents, families, and children. What kind of impact has COVID-19 had on families? Like, what are you seeing as the impact?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, well, a huge impact, obviously. I think right now there's high levels of uncertainty for everybody, not just St. Jude patients, but the whole community. It's everybody's anxious, everybody's worried, everybody's trying to deal with this uncertainty. So we are seeing changes, big changes in family routines. So suddenly mom and dad are working from home, and suddenly kids don't have to go to school, and their siblings are home, and they're home together 24/7. And this has been challenging for everybody. I think especially parents, it's been a big stressor for parents. They're now having to juggle both working a full-time job and homeschooling. And our teenagers are also struggling. This is a time when they're normally becoming independent and socializing and going and hanging out with their friends. And now all of a sudden they're cooped up at home and with their parents 24/7. I think those are just some of the examples. I think there's a lot of high emotion, a lot of variability though too.
So when you guys put this resource kit together, what was the reason behind it? Why did you guys decide to, and it looks like you put a lot of work into this. What was sort of the driving force behind that?
Well, I think we, you know, initially, the idea came early March, and we really wanted some clear, developmentally appropriate educational tools for our patients. So we were initially inspired by our patients to get some information to them to help them understand COVID, but we also wrote them in a way so that they could be used broadly by anybody in the community, not just our patients. So it really was meant to help them better understand COVID, to help them understand these sudden changes that we're all experiencing and having to deal with, and really to give them a tool to work through worries and anxieties that they may have about COVID.
Okay, so I was looking over this. I have it down there. It's just out of reach now. You guys had it's put together in a way that, and I think there's two kits, right? There's one for kids and one for parents.
So we have there's a resource specifically for parents. Mm-hmm. It gives advice and tips for parents on how to communicate to kids about COVID. So there's specific examples about how to respond to types of questions. Then there's a specific tool for younger kids about ages 5 to 8. So that's the coloring book. Mm-hmm. And then we have an activity book for like tweens, ages about 10 to 13. And we just released last week a resource for adolescents. So it's not quite in book format. It's on the internet though, on our website. So there's the parent portion and then the portion for the kids.
I think I downloaded the one that's in the middle for like the tween age.
You've got the tweens one.
The tweens one, yeah. And it really is. I've been struggling to come up with a way to explain to my kids what COVID-19 is. They're very intelligent, but there's emotional delay. And so they tend to want to know more about something than they're emotionally prepared to deal with. And so it's this very delicate balance. And, you know, trying to approach this in a way that is realistic without instilling fear, has been challenging because my oldest is terrified. He has, he's immunocompromised. And so he understands enough to know that if he gets sick, that it's not a good thing. And having him look over this kit, it just presents it in a way much better than what I have been able to hobble together on my own. especially, you know, with all of the information that's out there, the misinformation that's out there. And I wanted to ask you, what are you guys seeing? Like, how are kids reacting to this? Are you seeing, do they really understand what's going on? Are they experiencing undue, you know, stress related to this? Are they afraid of getting sick? Do they really not understand kind of what's going on?
I think there's a big variability, and I think that depends on developmental level. So I think you've hit the nail on the head with your comment just a few minutes ago about how to present this in a way that kids can understand it, but it not being too overwhelming to where it creates more anxiety. And so I think that's what's great about these books is that they are a guide for parents to start those conversations and to provide some of those basic facts about COVID. So, you know, what is COVID? What are the symptoms of COVID? There's some strategies and tips in there on how to cope with COVID, but it's not too overwhelming, and they're done in a developmentally appropriate way. And they're even done in a fun way. So coloring books and activity books, these are normal everyday activities for kids. And so it allows for a potentially scary and threatening topic to be talked about in a really like fun and playful way.
Yeah, there's word and, searches, you know, and crossword puzzles and coloring stuff.
Yeah, so there's coloring. The younger books coloring, kind of the mid one, you're talking about the tweens one has a word search. It's got a crossword puzzle. It also has some coloring. It's got some matching in there. The teen one doesn't have so much activities, but it's got more advice on things they can do to handle social distancing and physical distancing. And so those activities, you know, these are familiar activities for kids, and they can be fun too. And so it allows for a scary topic to be talked about in a very normal way. And it really normalizes it for kids. And so I think when it comes to talking about hard conversations and hard topics, I think the natural inclination for a lot of parents is to protect their child, shield their child, not have those conversations, maybe even avoid those conversations altogether. And we'll sometimes see that in our oncology setting where you get this devastating news of childhood cancer. And sometimes the initial reaction is, I'm not going to tell my child that they have this disease. But we actually encourage open and honest discussions, but doing it in a way that's not going to be too overwhelming for them. So providing those basic facts, but it not being too intense and too overwhelming. And just like you were saying a few minutes ago, kids respond differently, depending on their emotional level, their cognitive level, where their language skills are. And some kids really want a lot of information. So they're asking a lot of questions. We call them information seekers. They go Google their own information and look it up. They'll be the one to ask their doctor's questions. And that's how they cope best. They like to know those facts and they like to know as much as possible. Other kids, however, they might avoid those conversations and they shy away from those conversations. And so I think parents know their kids best of where where they fall on that continuum of whether they are the information seekers or if they want less information. So I think these books are a good starting point for parents where they're not too overwhelming, and parents can kind of, you know, touch the surface and get into the basics where it's not too overwhelming, or if they want to dive into more information, that's also possible.
I know when I looked through this with my youngest last night, and one of the first things that I noticed, and I know it's just really simple, but for me it was impactful, because my teenager likes to debate me on facts and whatever. And, you know, when this whole COVID-19 thing came out, we switched from, we'd relied on hand sanitizer way too much. And I wanted to move to getting into the habit of washing our hands for 20 seconds with soap and water. And like on the second page, I think, or the third page, whatever, right into the beginning of this path, this information, it has an explanation for why washing your hands for 20 seconds with soap and water is the best thing that you can do. And I really enjoyed, showing them that because it really is, it's a very simple way that you can help to protect yourself and the people that you're around. And I feel like it's sort of empowering. It kind of gives them a little bit of control in a situation where maybe, I mean, like, I don't really have a whole lot of control, and I know that's scary for me, and they have even less control. But if they know that they can sort of protect themselves, they can do their part by washing their hands. It sort of puts it into context for them. And I'm really excited to see that. It was a really simple thing, but it stuck out to me as something that impacted my family directly. So I do appreciate that.
That's good to hear.
So what went in to putting this information together?
Yeah, so it started back in early March. And I think that's when we were starting to see some of the changes here in Memphis. And that's when a few of us got together and thought, we need to create some resources. So it was really a collaboration with some of us in psychology with our child life department. So we have several child life specialists here, do a lot of really great work. They overlap somewhat with some of our work and really helping kids cope with illness and with treatments, and helping them understand diseases. We wrote the content for the books, me and two of the child life specialists, Samantha Tuohy and Rachel Schmelzer. We then collaborated. We have a medical outreach team here, and they help out with creating this really amazing online website that we have for educational material on pediatric cancer. So they helped us with some of the content. And then we have a graphic artist here who worked with us, and she is the one who came up with those images, and she did a remarkable job making it fun and engaging and just visually appealing. So the visuals in it, I think, are really great for helping kids understand, because those medical diagnoses and things like viruses are kind of abstract ideas for kids. And the visuals that she created really help make it kind of concrete for them and more easy for them to understand. So.
The Autism Dad is brought to you by my friends at BrainPower. BrainPower is made up of a team of scientists and engineers out of MIT and Harvard. They've created an amazing augmented reality system that helps parents teach their autistic children social-emotional skills like whole-body learning, interpreting facial expressions, paying attention, and even transitioning to new environments. It's called Empowered Brain. The system uses Google Glass technology, which places virtual objects into the real world. BrainPower has used this to create a series of games that make learning fun and engaging. The best part is that your child will be looking through the glasses and interacting with the real world instead of having their heads down looking at a phone or tablet. I've been trying Empowered Brain with my kids for about a month now, and the technology is pretty amazing. My kids picked it up quickly, and they have a lot of fun using it. There's even a game that rewards kids for correctly identifying facial expressions, and a really cool game where they can explore real world space within the glasses just by looking around. You can even upload your own images so that you can help your child to transition into new places before they actually have to be there. So you could think maybe a new school, a new doctor's office, a supermarket, etc. For more information, visit their website, brain-power.com. Don't forget the dash. It's brain-power.com. And if you decide to try it out, use a discount code theautismdad, all one word, to save 40% off your purchase. This is actually the first, like I said before we started recording, I've been on lockdown with my kids for 54 days at the time of, oh no, I'm sorry, 50. I just told you I had that app or that widget thing, and I still can't remember how many. It's been a while. And I have not come across a resource like this specifically. And I was looking to try and help my kids, because all of my kids are in different places. My oldest is 20. Cognitively, he's about 5 or 6. So he would probably need the younger version. And so it was hard to find, believe it or not, it was hard to find information that would be developmentally appropriate for my kids being in the places that they are. And when I got the email from you guys about this, it was exciting to see somebody putting something like this out there in a way that is very kid friendly and takes a lot of pressure off of me as a parent to try and come up with the ways to explain to them what's going on. Do you guys have, how do you recommend parents use these resource kits with their kids? Should they go through it with them? Should they just sort of hand it over and let the kids kind of go through it on their own, or?
No, that's a very good question. I think that might depend on the parent and the child and their level of comfort. I know some kids, some of the older kids want to be a little more independent, sort of like doing their own homework on their own. But then maybe still having the parent nearby to help out if needed. I have gotten some feedback from some parents of younger children that they'll actually do it with them. So I think that's okay too. I don't think there's necessarily a right or wrong answer. But I think it is a good tool to do together if you can, as long as it's not too overwhelming for the child. You just don't want to be hovering, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. but it's an opportunity to clarify misconceptions. So like you were saying with your son about the hand washing and debating you, I think it's a good opportunity for parents to gauge their child's understanding as you're going through the book, gauge their feelings related to COVID. So whether it's anxiety or sadness or anger, clarify misconceptions that they might have.
Do you find, okay, well, let me ask you this. We had talked about, you talked about sort of open, honest communication with your kids at an appropriate level, with whether you're dealing with cancer diagnosis or anything like that. When it comes to something like COVID-19, the world at large was not prepared to deal with the impact of this and being shut away and isolated and whatever. You know, how honest should parents be? Do you know what I mean? Like, because there's a lot of, you can't escape the information. I mean, you'll see a death count on TV all the time. You see, apps pop up ads about the COVID-19 pandemic. You know, if they're playing one of their games on their phone, the app will pop up an ad or something. YouTube, it's everywhere. Mm-hmm. How can we help our kids to focus more on reliable, factual-based information? Because I think, like with my oldest, you know, he's afraid if he goes outside, he's going to get sick. He doesn't understand how it works. And I've been trying to help him understand that, you know, you're not going to get sick just from going outside. You have to come into contact with somebody who has the virus. You can't just get it from someone who's not sick or not infected. And it's hard to sort of get them to kind of connect the dots sometimes. And I don't always know how much detail to go into, because sometimes it's too much and sometimes it's not enough. And I guess I was just wondering kind of what's your gauge on how to approach this?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I think you're absolutely right. The level, knowing how much to give, I think, or how much information to provide. In general, when it comes to the media, we often recommend to limit that with kids, which is hard to do because most of them are on social media. This is how they're keeping in touch with their friends. Everything's gone virtual. So mm-hmm. monitoring that is very, very challenging. But if there are ways to minimize the exposure to at least the media, and I think for the adults too, I think for us, it's information overload when we get all of that. And it's stressful on everybody to hear the repeated news stories, because it's all very sad news too. None of it's good. Every once in a while you'll hear a positive story in the news. But it is very, very scary times. This is abnormal times. This is something we'll never thought we would have to go through in our lifetime. So if there's a way to minimize the media exposure, to monitor the media exposure, I think that's one great part about these books and these resources, is it provides a level that is appropriate for that developmental level. So the language in those books is sort of the basics of where their language level is. So for example, the younger book, it doesn't go into a lot of detail. It sort of just gets at the basics of COVID's a virus, you need to wash your hands, those types of things. The older resource gets into more detail, like what is a pandemic and more details about the virus itself. So it's presented in a way it's not too overwhelming, but it's just enough to kind of help them understand what's going on. But I think it's a real challenge because they're hearing so much information. And I think what's great about these books and resources, it consolidates that information to sort of the level that's needed.
And it avoids some of the really, I guess, like death counts and things like that. It just gives you, if my oldest understood how the virus actually works and that he can't get it just from going outside and playing in the yard or walking, you know, going to the park and not being exposed to anybody, I think his anxiety would be a lot less than what it is right now. And I sort of look at this as kind of a framework for parents to sort of build off of. It gives you kind of a, like a wireframe of how to approach this with that age group. And then you got to kind of cater it to your kid's unique, developmental needs or abilities. So,
yes, absolutely. And we also have in the tween version and the teen version, we have myth busting sections. So some of the facts we have in there are sort of based on some of the misconceptions that are happening in the media right now. And the information really is grounded in sort of the facts and the evidence and a lot of the recommendations from the CDC. So just like you said, it's sort of a great starting point for parents to talk about these things in a kind of factual way based on the developmental level.
What has the response been from parents? Have you gotten a lot of feedback?
Yeah, it's been very, very positive. I think these are such difficult conversations and such a difficult concept for kids to grasp, especially with the sudden changes that we're all experiencing. And I think parents were very eager for some tools to guide them. I think some parents might be seeing a lot of emotions that maybe they weren't seeing before, like you said, you've been on lockdown now 52 days. This is an abnormal situation that none of us had to go through before. And so it's like, where do we turn? And so I think we really wanted to create those resources to help parents navigate this unexpected time. So it's been very, very positive, very positive.
Do you foresee there being long-term implications for our kids after experiencing something like this? I mean, do you expect they're just going to bounce back, or is it going to take some work that we could maybe start now?
That's a very good question. I think it's hard to answer because it's so unknown, because I think we've never lived through a pandemic in our lifetime. But I'm definitely a big believer that kids are resilient. I think working in an oncology setting, I get to see that firsthand and witness that every day. And when you are sort of given these tough cards in life, like a cancer diagnosis or dealing with a pandemic, kids are resilient. I think people in general, but especially kids, and they do find ways to cope with this and adjust and get through this. That being said, it is not easy. And I think we do need to be very mindful that there might be some long-term implications of this. It might very well depend, though, on risk factors or location. Some areas are getting impacted more than others. Almost like that whole idea in trauma, level of exposure and degree of exposure. So if you have a more firsthand account of it, it might be a much more long-term struggle than if you don't. So I think it's, I think the verdict's out. I'm not sure we'll really know, but I do have full faith and hope that kids are quite resilient and they'll adjust and adapt to this.
Where can people find this resource kit?
So we have it available on our Together website. It's www.together.stjude.org. So that is where the resources are for the parents, and then the coloring book and the tween book, and then the teen resources are on the stjude.org website.
Okay. And I'll have all those links in the descriptions, so nobody has to actually remember that. Everybody's heads are all over the place right now. Is there anything else that you would like to just say to the families out there who are going through this and struggling, maybe don't know how to keep sane, or, you know, anything helpful?
Yes, I know. This is hard times, hard times. I think it's important to remember to have some of your own self-compassion and to not beat yourself up. I think especially the parents, this is a really tough time. Well, it's a tough time for everybody, but parents are juggling their lot right now. So I think it's okay to forgive yourself if the conversations don't go quite as well as you wanted, or if there's another argument in the house, or you've got cabin fever and you're all going a little bit bonkers. So I think it's be easy on yourself right now. I will say this though too, which we haven't quite talked about, is I think keeping routine is essential right now as much as you can. I think kids thrive on routine. We recommend it all the time in our oncology setting, and also now during COVID, and routine has been completely, you know, flipped upside down with all of the changes that we've had. So in any ways you can to keep routine, you know, try to do schoolwork. It might not be the same level and extent, but try to keep socializing with friends, even though it's going to be different and virtually. Try to keep a normal bedtime, sleep cycle, all those kinds of things. Try to exercise when you can. There's obviously a lot of restrictions and limitations, but kids do really well with routine.
Is it weird that they do well with it, but they hate it at the same time? Because that's what I'm running into. I keep telling my kid, I set them all down the other day and I'm like, guys, we have to get into a routine. Like, yeah. You know, he's like, no, we don't need this. You know, we just like to make our own. I'm like, guys, like, you may hate it. Like, you may say that you hate it, but I know, like, it's easier for all of us when we have a schedule and you can predict what's going to happen next. And you know that you go to bed at 10 o'clock and you're up at 8 or something like that. You're not sleeping until 1 o'clock in the afternoon. You know that we have chores, we have, whether it's schoolwork or other means of continuing to learn while we're on lockdown. And, you know, like my kids haven't seen their mom in 52 days because we decided that visits had to stop because it just wasn't a good idea to go back and forth. So keep in touch with people. But yeah. I just find that funny that they need it, but they hate it.
I know.
They seem to, at least my kids
do. It's like exercise for some people who are eating healthy foods. It's good for you, but it's not always the choice that is the most pleasurable.
Well, I guess, you know, I really, really appreciate that you guys put this together. It has had a very positive impact on my family, and I'm going to go through this with my kids again today. Is there, how can people support what you guys are doing? Is there a way to, you know, people, I mean, I know we've seen the commercials and stuff like that, but is there something that we can do to help you guys get out the message and support what you guys are doing for families?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think in terms of the books themselves, I think just spreading the word with friends and family and getting the word out that way. I think for St. Jude more globally, there's a lot of opportunities to help out with St. Jude. And so they have a lot of great information on our website about you know, spreading the word, fundraising opportunities, ways to get involved. So it's a very active community to help out. So if people do want to get involved, there is information on our website.
And I'll have all that information in the notes so you guys can just look below however you're listening to this, and you can click on the link and go do that. Mm-hmm. St. Jude is an amazing, amazing hospital. They do amazing things for our kids and our families. And I really, really appreciate your time. Thank you again for putting this together. Stay safe, stay healthy.
Well, thanks for having me and thanks for covering this. I'm very impressed with your work as an advocate for autism. I think
thank you.
You see is key for sure. So
yeah, I was really excited to see the resource kit. So I wanted to talk to you guys. Thank you again for taking the time to do that. And if there's anything that I can do to help, please let me know and I'll do whatever I can to support what you guys are doing. I hope everybody in your world stays safe and healthy, and we'll be in touch.
Yes. All right.
Thank you. Before I close things out today, I just want to say thank you to Kristen for coming on the show and talking about how we as parents can help our kids better understand the COVID-19 crisis. As a parent to three autistic kids, it's a very difficult thing for me to navigate. I want my kids to understand what's going on so they can take it seriously, but I don't want them to be afraid unnecessarily. I don't want them to live in fear. There's a balance that has to be struck, and it is very dependent on developmental place. And what Kristen and her team at St. Jude has done is put together very useful kits of information that will help parents to do that. You know, it comes in different age groups, so you can kind of pick whatever is appropriate for your family, and you can sit down and it's something you can do. It's like an activity book. You can do this with your kids. They can learn what COVID-19 is. They can learn how to keep themselves safe. And it takes some of the fear out of it. When you understand something, a lot of times it's less scary. And that's really important right now. So, you know, our kids are dealing with a lot. There's a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety, a lot of fear. And these resource kits can sort of help to quell some of that and give them a better understanding in a way that is developmentally appropriate for their age. So huge, huge thank you to Kristen and St. Jude for doing this. I will have all the links for them in the show notes below and in a corresponding blog post for this. So check them out. If you're able to, please consider donating to support St. Jude. What they do for families is just amazing. And if you're looking to donate or support a cause, St. Jude is at the top of my list. So please keep that in mind. As always, you can find me and follow our story at theautismdad.com. All my social links are at the top of the page, mostly on Twitter, sort of on Facebook. If you want to hit me up, send me a message. Do it from one of those two things or from the blog itself, and I will do my best to get back to you in a timely manner. I'm happy to help in any way that I can. A lot of times I just listen to parents who need to vent. So don't hesitate to reach out if you need something. So there's that. You can subscribe to this podcast on any one of your favorite podcast listening apps. Just please remember to hit that subscribe button. I appreciate that. Should you desire to support this podcast, there's a link in the description where you can do just that. Please remember that we're going to be on hiatus for a couple of weeks. We'll be back sometime in June. And if I don't talk to you before then, please take care of yourself. Please stay safe. And we will get through this. So I will talk to you soon. Thanks.